This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
All right, back with my man Curtis after a long road show Thursday, Friday. We made it through the storms. Curtis, how are you?
I am great. I was walking around last night and I was just so like, it is such a remarkable thing. You know, like you do something. You don't know, you know, you have certain metrics that say it's good or bad, but to like see that people take an entire weekend or take 3 hours out of their day to come see you do something is unspeakably rewarding. There are no adequate words to describe the feeling of satisfaction and job well done that you get when you go to one of those things. And it was awesome. The people in, I mean, the drive on Thursday night to, why is a long weekend make everything seem weird? It's just one day, but I can't remember what day it is.
Yeah.
The drive down Thursday night was awful, but it had nothing on the drive from the Trading Post Lounge, which legit some of the best bar pizza I've ever had in my life. And even the next day, perfect. Which some bar pizzas gets like kind of, yeah.
Yeah, and normally Greg overinflates his opinion on these things, but it actually delivered.
Oh, it was awesome. And it's a perfect like bar food. I know it's bar pizza for a reason, but like it's, you know, you don't, it's like those mini Snickers you get around Halloween. You have 15 of them,
yeah.
But you know, like it's not the full bar.
Shyam and I had a pie each, so I don't know. Maybe the slices could have been bigger.
No, a pie is basically two.
I felt a little guilty after eating a whole pie.
Right, because it's a whole pizza.
Yeah.
But in general, like if you had to measure it out, like if you got you don't like Pinot. So if you got a New York slice, it's two of those, it's
right.
Bigger than that pizza.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it's Shyam full of crap about four slices. What the hell was that?
No, he had a whole pie. I mean, we watched it all go down.
So why would he lie about
it? I don't know. Shyam's in a bad place. Do you think God punished him with the weather? Because now his show's down to an hour today. I feel like that's something coming back on him. He's just had a tough week.
Yeah, not a great week for Shyam, but the drive from the Trading Post Lounge back to the Seacrest,
yeah,
which was a great hotel.
Thank you.
Was maybe the most terrified I've ever been. There was that one.
You had James driving. I'm
I
not sure
James,
why you chose that.
Right. Well, you know, thankfully Jess had a cocktail, so she was like, this is fine. But we were driving, and it was legitimately, like, you couldn't see. I had no idea where I was. I'd never been in this part of the Massachusetts before.
Yeah.
And it's legitimately like you're hydroplaning. It was worse. We had that one time where you and I drove you home in a blizzard. You remember that?
Really?
Yeah. Years ago, back to Brookline from the 20 Guest Street.
Okay.
And it was terrifying. And you were even more scared. You looked whiter than you do now.
Thank you.
It was a crazy evening. The next morning, I was like, it was windy. It's like, it was bizarre weather. And I pull in, and there's a line around the corner of people coming to see the show. It was just a great, great 24 hours in Bourne and Falmouth.
Yeah, and for those people who may be wondering what we're talking about, this is the Greg Hill Road Show, of course, our morning show here on WEI. And stop number two, which was yesterday in Bourne, where was some controversial debate over when the Cape actually starts. You and Wiggy. Wiggy seems to have won that debate, that Bourne starts before the bridge itself. But we'll pass that off for another time. I know we got some sports to get into today. But just quick plug, the road show is now every Friday, Curtis. It's here for the next 6 weeks. Every Friday except the final one, which will be on a Thursday, July the 3rd, up at Winnipesaukee. So the tour is off to a hot start. And looking for that.
Yeah, excited for Newport next week. And I know we'll get too many. I don't know where you're going to start, but I just, you won a lot of money last night.
I won a lot of money.
And you're basically morphing into Shyam. You're eating a pizza. Now you're sending me your winning bets. But the Knicks, in just the most Knicksian fashion,
yeah,
have embarrassed themselves in a way that was totally their own doing. Where you go, I mean, the celebration after beating the Celtics was pathetic on every level. It was my biggest takeaway from the series. Even Tatum's injury, future of Jaylen Brown, Mazzulla, whatever. the Jalen Brunson Boulevard and like Carl Anthony Towns Street and the jumping up the light poles on Fifth Avenue after you won a series.
A Brunson statue has already been erected.
Like, what a bunch of losers.
Isn't it actually worth the Celtics losing?
Yes.
See the Knicks have this false accomplishment.
If I had to do both, if I had to, like, either the Celtics win again
but
lose in the finals, or the Celtics get eliminated by the Knicks and then the Knicks lose in their next series, I would choose the latter.
See, that's why I think the New York rivalry is back. Boston-New York is back.
But it's just on the other foot. It's very different.
It's on the other foot, but... we have Yankees, Red Sox still to come.
Were you surprised by that? The other day, you remember Yanni Corrales, whatever, he used to work at the Providence affiliate. Mm-hmm. I still follow him. He tweeted out a compilation of each New York team's last championship.
I know. It's amazing. It's stunning.
The last one was the Giants over the Patriots.
It's amazing.
And you think about how we think, you know, Shaughnessy's writing about us becoming Loserville again. I mean, the Celtics won last year.
And the Knicks is 73. So for all the crap the Jets get, and it's deserved.
Right.
The Knicks are not much better.
I mean, when was Super Bowl III? That was what, 69? So you're looking at only 5 years more recent.
Right.
I mean, you and I weren't even a thought at that point.
Well, that goes well into where I was going to start, which was the Shaughnessy column in the Globe, which has gotten some pushback from people that comment on these Globe articles. I know you don't have a subscription anymore. You still mine.
Oh, I canceled and I signed up. I got $1 for 6 months.
The headline is...
Slightly too expensive, but...
Does the Celtics' sudden downward spiral mean Boston will go from title town to Loserville and other thoughts? So he gets into the Celtics. And first of all, just calling it a downward spiral set people off. That was just a hint that basically this thing is going to unravel and they are cooked. Which I don't know is true.
I mean, I don't think it's a crazy thought at all.
It's not crazy, but I don't think it's a fait accompli.
Well, Celtics fans, like, you can't say anything to them.
But let's focus on the title town to Loserville, which he trots out probably too frequently. And in this case, it's way too soon. They just won a title. The city just won a title last year. You can't go to Loserville, talking about the Knicks, not having won a championship in the city. In the city of New York, since 2007.
12.
12, as you say, going back to Pats. So you don't actually believe this, right? The Shaughnessy, like the city's in... The sports teams in the city are in dire shape.
They are in the worst shape as a collection of the four teams in a really long time. The Bruins are miles away. The Red Sox are, you know, I hope nobody's got a sports banquet tonight so everybody shows up to Fenway Park. And more than anything, the reaction of Cora to that whole conversation revealed how he thought about it. If you do something... And you take care of something with your family. And
you're talking about the graduation with
right.
his daughter.
And you know it's the right thing to do, then you don't get into the weeds. You don't go into the mud pit and sling with people. It's you thought it was the right thing to do. That's your decision. When you have a job in the public eye, others comment on your private life. That's the world. That's not fair, I guess, in many cases. But I didn't write the rules. I just follow them. And I'm sorry... But the post on Instagram, like, I'll never regret this. It's like, dude, it's not about you, first of all. It's your daughter. Stop making it about yourself. And secondly, if you trust that you did the right thing, who cares? Stick with your... Like, it's not like anybody's calling for him to get fired. Nobody's... I think...
Well, there are people that are calling for him. Yes, there are people calling for him to get fired.
Not because of this decision.
Yeah, they just generally were skeptical of him, and this probably pushed him over the edge.
Okay.
This and the decision to pull Crochet this week.
Right, but what all I'm saying is, I guess speak for myself, but I've heard people elsewhere. Nobody I heard said he should be fired for this. All I said, which I thought was benign, it struck me as odd. Commencement at BC is 10 a.m. You're out of the dorms usually by 2 to 3.
Did you make your commencement?
No, I didn't even know. I couldn't even see my... I think I had different shoes on.
I think your dad walked for
you. Yeah, I was like weekend at Bernie's. Weekend at Bombed Curtis, but we had the... And you're at Fenway Park, which is the Crow Flies. I mean, you're at Alumni Stadium, which is the Crow Flies, is 2 miles.
Yeah, but as a manager, you got to get in here like noon. You got to prep all day.
So I'm not disputing any of that. All I'm saying is it struck me as odd. That's all. Strange thing to me. I said, obviously, if the Red Sox and Royals were playing at Kauffman Stadium and his daughter's graduation was that day, you leave. You go to the graduation without a question. And if it's a wedding, obviously, even if it's in the afternoon, it's a full party. Like, I get it. I'm not saying that he's a bad father or a good father, But the people that use this to say he's a good dad have no, there's equal evidence. We have no clue how someone is as a father.
I just think in general, he's on edge. I don't think the Sox are in trouble. They're hanging in there.
He's had an awful year.
It's not been a great year so far. I will acquiesce that.
He has Bregman come in, and obviously it was the right decision, but he butchered.
Eh, not really.
Absolute
Rafi is hitting .299 and smacking the ball around the yard.
Right, but not thanks to Alex Cora.
Well, kind of, because another manager may have forced him to go to first, and he would have been a disaster.
No.
I mean, I've come around to Rafi cannot play first.
If you're going on if you're golfing, right, and it's you, me, and Greg, and we need a fourth, mm-hmm. and you bring in the fourth.
Yep.
And he ruins the day. He's drunk, bad jokes.
I brought Jackson.
Right. You bring Jackson. Perfect. It's on you because you invited the guy that ruined the night. And if you're Alex Cora and you're part of this team, you agree Cora sees himself as somewhat of a Belichick type, as in roster control and coach/manager?
I don't know if that's true, but I think he would like to have that.
And that's what I'm saying. He sees himself in that light.
Right.
So you have to be ready as the manager to take care of a situation when you, the general manager, bring in a guy that takes a guy off of his position.
Yeah, but he has. Really, he's been failed by Breslow for not having a legit first base option ready. That's a failure of Breslow in the front office.
Okay, but no.
And Cora did a good job. Devers did a great position.
That was after the owner went down there. How are you giving Cora credit for that?
Well, you don't think Cora was part of that? He was in the meeting. Probably translated for the guy.
Ken.
He has been the Devers soothsayer. It was a tough 2 weeks, but we have navigated those waters.
No.
That's not the problem with
the problem team. Is that this is a one other portion, a decision to bring in Bregman. We all agree. Good move.
Mm-hmm. Great move.
He better than anybody should have understood what happened. And I had Cora's back that whole time. I said it's on Devers. I said it's like Rodney Harrison. He brought in a guy because the team needs to bring winners in. Mm-hmm. And clearly the reaction made that point. But you're here now, and it just doesn't feel – I always thought of Cora as a guy, especially when he replaced Farrell, who had a really good feel for baseball. Like, I never worried about the situation getting away from him or, yeah. You know, whatever. Like, I would follow the game, and I would see, yep, I get why you did it there, even if it didn't work.
Now you do?
Yes.
Because of this?
No, because of Crochet, because of
Crochet, that could be a front office thing. That could be a digital, you know, guys with the numbers saying pitch count this, weather that, looking at a spreadsheet. That also might not be Cora. I mean, he's obviously bought into the sense that he went out there and he talks about wanting to keep him fresh and it's a long season. But I don't know that that's Alex's decision. I think he does have a good feel for the game. I think, you know, it's been you're all right. He's had some. You know, there have been moments I've watched and I don't...
Okay, what about pitching to Vlad Guerrero?
Yeah, obviously his worst moment of the year.
Okay, but, like, Guerrero says he does it all the time.
Yeah, he does, especially this time of year. He's, you know, he has managed this season largely with a lack of fire and a patience that goes beyond the average fan's mental capacity. I would agree with
that. If this season ends under .500, whose job is safer, Breslow or Cora?
Oh, I can't believe that would even happen with this roster.
Well, they're .500.
But they've just changed. They wouldn't fire Breslow this soon.
Right.
But I don't think they would fire Cora either.
I said whose job is more likely safe?
I guess Cora would be the first to go in that situation. But I don't think that either will happen. I think they're going to make the playoffs. I think they will, at worst, be an 86, 87 win team that misses barely. But if that happens, then you're looking back at the Vlad Guerrero game and others that got away from you in one or two games that made the difference.
If you're Sam Kennedy and John Henry and you're flying to Kansas City, who do you think they blame, Breslow or Cora?
They don't blame Breslow because he works for them.
Right.
But they blame Cora inaccurately. Like, if they do, they're fooling themselves. They had no plan. They gave Cora no options here. And now they're trying to scramble. And by the way, yesterday, Bregman's out, and Cora did not list Devers in the list of possible third basemen, so he's not going back in the field on the left side either.
Is he still taking grounders?
I don't know. I haven't seen that lately. That was reported
Bradford
earlier.
Tell us.
Anyway, overall question is Shaughnessy right? Is Boston in trouble? Are the Boston sports teams in trouble? Is it headed back to Loserville or in that direction? 617-779-7937. Here until 11 a.m., we are at the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio. And we are brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and F-Series, America's best-selling truck for 48 years and the official truck of the Boston Red Sox. Off the road show yesterday on the Cape. Thanks to everybody who came out and said hello to the crew. And it was a fun couple of days headed to Newport this week. And how about this for a little treat for you? Twitch Mitch is working weekends now.
Love it.
And you were very excited to hear his voice before we went on the air. You'll hear it now in Trending.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, there you go. That's the way to get in my good graces. Rush always plays Curtis, although Tom Sawyer, not my favorite. The Twitch Midge is trying. Also, real-life Tom back there today, Tom Crisafulli. So we've got the doubleheader of producers, two young and up-and-coming media stars here in the city of Boston, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm not that young, but yeah, we got you.
That's fine, Mitch. You're young in our book. Curtis and I are old bald guys.
Yes, I'm close to dead.
Curtis is alive, though, I tell you. You're a star when you're out amongst these people. It is invigorating.
By the way,
refreshing to watch.
I want to bitch about you for a second. So I won't give away the name.
Now you're back.
A very big supporter of WEEI as an advertiser.
Oh.
No, I said supporter.
Oh.
I was instructed, I was told after the show that this gentleman and you were talking at the Trading Post Lounge,
mm-hmm.
Ken pie-eyed after 18 ounces of Miller Lite,
mm-hmm.
And you asked this gentleman.
I always have two.
This gentleman, you asked, you said, who's your favorite part of the morning show?
Oh, yeah, I like doing this.
And he said, yours truly.
I know.
And I was shocked. Shocked.
I told him, anytime anybody, I asked, that's one of my common go-to questions now, because I like to poll the audience.
Oh, I have an idea, before I forget. Starting this week in Newport, exit poll.
An exit poll.
We come up with 4 to 5 questions that we hand out to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the final exit, we're about to leave, we give the results, like it could be anything. Like worst person on the show, best moment, worst moment, Karen Reed, guilty. I don't know. We could figure anything out. But it would be an interesting thing a la, you know.
We do have our ink-filled pens handy, so we have the material.
We have everybody that listens to the show, our P1s in one place, in different places. It might be beneficial as sort of a brand manager or as a show, might be entertaining to get some feedback
a comment
from the audience.
Box. Yes. Yeah. Better idea than your trivia, which totally bombed.
That was your fault entirely.
It was not my fault.
Awful.
Nobody had any.
Courtney
your
was
questions
hard.
Were way too hard.
What do you want me to say? Who's that? Wiggy?
Well, that would have been. You want some success. You don't want 3 blank stares.
Okay. Well, we had 3 blank stares. They would have been blank if it was.
Chris in the truck was there. He's one of our P1s. He like went over.
Yeah.
Those three were ready to go, too, and they just they didn't have the energy and they didn't have the questions correct either.
Well, so here's why. Courtney had the best idea, as is usually the case. We were going to have 2 and 2. So there would be 2 battles, each with 3 questions, mano a mano, instead of 3, which is an odd number. It didn't make any sense. Nobody had a mic. It was a disaster.
Well, yeah, this was your game. You need to invent the rules.
Okay, well, going forward, we'll try it one more time. And if it doesn't work, I'll jump in, you know, into the ocean.
Okay, I don't want that. But I go back to my question, which I always do like to sample the listening audience. How do you like Jones and Keefe? How do you like the morning show? Who's your favorite morning show personality?
Right.
Anytime anybody answers Curtis, I tell them I'm shocked.
Right.
I am stunned.
Well, must be shocked a lot.
It's kind of split. I mean, that's the beauty of the show. Everybody's got their own favorites.
Yep.
You guys are kicking ass, and we appreciate all your great work in the community out there, meeting the people, which is important in radio. Now, back to the Ken and Curtis show, selfishly here. Talking about the state of Boston sports. Is the city in trouble? Is this overstated by Shaughnessy? Can I focus on the Celtics part of this just specifically?
Sure.
It is fun to watch the Knicks start to fade. That's enjoyable. However, it is impossible to watch this series and not think the Celtics should have beat these bums handily. And that's a choke job. And so
just to quickly interrupt before you get to this. How is the conversation different today in this past week if Tatum just never gets hurt and they lose in 6?
It's different, I guess, in the future outlook.
But it also cushioned the, because we're talking about next year more than we are talking about the pathetic choke against the Knicks.
Right.
But go ahead.
Well, I mean, it's Yeah, it changes the conversation, but they still would have lost the series. I mean, they're down 3-1. If Tatum's healthy.
No, I'm saying that I think it would have been a much more bumpy return for the Celtics if they never had that injury and they lost at full strength.
Yeah. Well, here's what Shaughnessy writes about the Celtics.
And we agree they would have lost either way.
They would have lost. And they would have lost to the Pacers playing this way. I mean, it's embarrassing to hear Scow, who I really enjoy his take on the Celtics and think he's got great insight, come on this week and admit to Afternoons, this team was bored. When they were healthy, they were bored. What is that kind of an attitude? For going for a repeat? I mean, that has to resonate up and down the organization.
But here's the thing. Outside of a select few, so an NBA player on its bare minimum basic level is the best athlete from their town, from their city, from their place forever. Even if you're the 9th, 10th guy in an NBA roster. The best player on your team is probably one of 15 to 30 people on the planet at the very best at what they do. And what separates good from great and great from greatest is the drive to consistently fight to get better, to show more, to that you're never satiated, that your goal is whatever's, you know, what's your favorite ring, the next one. And this team, Jaylen Brown, if he's the alpha, I think he's more likely to be that guy than Tatum, but he's not nearly as talented as Tatum. And Tatum is just not wired that way.
But he had a great final game before he got hurt.
Oh, of course, but I'm saying...
And he just finished again,
They should never be down 3-1 to the Knicks, ever.
Well, but that gets back to Missoula and the two blown
and
leads.
And that's my point. If you're bored, it's the coach's job.
Yeah.
What else is your... He doesn't have side... He doesn't have out-of-bounds plays. He doesn't do anything. He doesn't call timeout.
Yeah, and he could have had an out-of-bounds play, as we talked about in the game one or two, which they had where they ran the same Tatum
where
play
said
twice.
That Tatum had a good look.
Right.
And he had three guys in his face.
It's just...
Fire Mazzulla today if I were in charge. He's in over his head. He's not the answer. They're not going to be a championship team next year. I don't know who the answer is to come in, but if your team is bored and your team underachieves, in two of your three seasons as head coach of the Boston Celtics, taking over for a guy as a coach, not outside the facility or I guess in the facility, is one of the 2 to 3 best coaches in the NBA now. You've seen what he's done with the Rockets. He's what he did here. He did the legwork, and then Mazzulla comes in, you lose to the Miami Heat that you are a far better team than. You win a championship against the Mavericks, and then you lose to the Knicks who are about to get out in 5 to 6 games from the Pacers. That's the head coach.
Yeah.
And it's not just – if you win game two, you win the series. You're down 1-0, you get the ball into Tatum's hands, you have a shot to win that game, you hold on to the 20-point lead in the second half, and you win the series.
Yeah. The series was over there.
Over.
Perk was right. You go down 0-2 to this team, you're done. He was totally right, and they were. And they put up a little fight, and Jaylen Brown had one good game where they looked better for a minute. But as Shaughnessy writes, in a New York minute, the Celtics quit and were eliminated in a ghastly Game 6 at MSG. Suddenly, Boston's roster is bloated with broken-down veterans who must be moved because they're making too much money. Since the C's can't possibly win a championship without Tatum next year, it makes no sense to pay millions in cap penalties to keep the team together. The championship run is officially over. Is that true? Is the run over? Is it over?
With Tatum and Brown, it is.
And I know you said that this week. So you think the trade is imminent. So they will do something.
I don't know if it's imminent, but you're not going to... And I hate that the NBA makes these rules so strange. Oh, by the way, another point I wanted to make about this. So the new thing is that everybody knew that they were going to unload superstars because of the second apron. That's the new storyline, the way Celtics fans and the Celtics, you know, green team approved media is explaining things. But let me bring you back to something. Do you remember when Dakota was on social media saying, if it's not now, it's this offseason, they have to unload cash, look for it to be Jaylen Brown. Remember that?
I do.
And he was roundly mocked by Celtics fans, by hosts, by everybody. What does he know? They don't have to shed payroll, moron. Those same people are saying today they have to shed payroll, morons. Otherwise, they're in the second apron.
Yeah, but they don't have to shed Jaylen Brown.
But when that was going on, it wasn't even specifically Jaylen Brown. It wasn't that, oh, well, they can get rid of Porzingis, Holiday, and White, whatever. It was that they had to get rid of payroll because the new ownership wasn't going to want to pay the tax of the second apron. So you can't have it both ways. You can't say Dakota was an idiot, because in real time, that's all anybody that was a Celtics fan or Chris Forsberg or anybody else would say. Now today, you're saying that obviously that was the case all along and you don't know the NBA. Which one is it?
I just think when it comes down to it, they're going to keep Brown. They're going to keep him for the ticket interest next year. They're going to keep Mazzulla too, which I'm not sure is the right move, but I guess there's no point. If next year's a wash anyway, you could make the coaching change in a year, right? You could let Mazzulla run through his contract and make the move when Tatum comes back. But they'll deal Porzingis, Holiday, and Hauser, right? And they'll get under the apron, and they'll just have it be JB's
team. But
how
does that work? How do you do that? Where do you have? Don't you have to get money back?
Yeah, that's where Twitch Mitch comes in. We'll get his cap expertise on that. But, I mean, obviously Horford's going to retire or, you know, not play here anymore. So some of that goes away automatically. And I just think they're going to keep Brown. And actually the Tatum injury probably prevented what Dakota was talking about from happening. Maybe they were thinking about that being the plan, win or lose, if Tatum's healthy. But now that he's gone, don't you need a star to keep people around and hopeful for the future? I mean, if you trade Jaylen, then you really tank. I don't know that they're ready for that.
Well, so what's this team with Jaylen Brown and those guys gone next year?
It's Jaylen Brown and...
No, I mean record-wise.
Pritchard. I mean, they're fighting for a play-in game.
What's the worst place to be in the NBA?
Mid.
Right. Why would they want to...
Kind of where the Red Sox are.
Oh, that's what they would be.
But they're mid with the asterisk, the carrot of Tatum's back, and now you have the Jays back together.
Right.
And so people will think of that fondly, and it'll carry you through a season.
Right. But if you suck... I don't know who the Cooper flag is of next year, but if you get a top three pick and you lose Jaylen Brown, but you get that to, you know, pair with Tatum, that might be equally or better.
Mm. Would you like to take a phone call?
Sure.
We can go to the phones, and you can join us there, 617-779-7937. Ray and Revere starts us off this morning. Good morning, Ray.
Guys, as I listen to this conversation, I really think it comes down to the sensibilities of the owner and the way the owner goes about building his front office. And I think the Celtics are the only organization where you really have an owner that empowers a GM. We have one of the best GMs in basketball to do his job and allows the spending that is necessary to win. Now, that's changing. We don't know what the next guy will do. But the other three organizations in town, I think the problem was with the owner. Clearly, John Henry is not about winning. We've got better players in the minor leagues that he won't bring up. He's not spending. He can't even attract a good GM, okay? With the Bruins, anybody associated or has any affiliation to Harry Sinden doesn't know what he's doing. The only time the Bruins won is when they had Chiarelli picking the groceries. And the fact that Sweeney didn't get launched this offseason is it's directly related to the Jacobs' unwillingness to do anything other than fill that arena. Okay, and Robert Kraft hasn't spent, and he didn't hire a GM. He could have hired Adam Peters, and that guy's putting on a master's class in general managementship down in Washington.
All right, Ray, thank you very much.
I think the Patriots had a pretty damn good offseason.
They had a great offseason, especially by their standards of paying people. They certainly paid out, maybe not to the cap or whatever your cash spending you wanted, Curtis, but they tried. And John Henry spent. He spent on Bregman. I mean, he could have spent less, that's for sure.
Definitely.
He took a flight. He talked to Devers. He smoked a cigar. I'm still hopeful the Red Sox are going to pull out of this malaise and make a little surge.
Yeah, it's just not... Cora was like this on-edge Cora is just different. I never viewed him that way.
It is different. And can I lump in the Liam Hendricks thing just a minute?
I want to talk about that.
Well, and obviously, like, you know, nobody is endorsing death threats or like
the
behavior of people on social media. But I don't, it concerns me at large, not even Hendricks, but just that the Red Sox organization has become a little bit sensitive, that they're reacting to every little thing. And maybe it goes, you and Slane were talking about mental health yesterday, and it's on everybody's mind, you know. It's a real thing. I'm not saying it's not. But Duran and Hendricks have brought that quotient of it up. But as an athlete, as you pointed out to start the show, don't you have to have a little bit of a, this is the deal, as a public figure, you're going to get heat. Can't you just get off social media as an athlete? Just get off social media.
Yeah. The thing, just personally, the thing that allows me to be sober and live my life is that there are a lot more people that know who I am today than did 5 years ago. And if you say this, say it's 5% of your audience or 10% hate their life, and they want you to feel miserable like them, because we all know misery loves company.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it'll feel like that's growing and that you're hearing more and more of it because you are. But that also means that the amount of people that love what you do or respect what you do has also increased. So if it's 5 to 10%, that means 95 to 90% of the people either don't like you but don't want you to feel like S, or they do like you and they'll support you.
Yeah.
For me, the sides to this that I find to be so disingenuous is when immediately people blame sports betting, that this is all going on.
Ooh, did Shine put you up to this?
No. It's that, okay, I walked down to Fenway Park today. Beautiful. I still get the feelings when I walk out of the walkway. And I look
people at whistled walk. At your legs. You were wearing shorts today.
Yeah, well, that happens often. And so I walk in, and you know what's on the Green Monster?
The postponement announcement?
BetMGM.
Oh.
We
love BetMGM?
We love, this isn't the point. So if you can't blame sports betting and be in bed with sports betting.
Yeah.
So to me, it's not, I don't think it's that. I think post-pandemic, the everything. I got bagels this morning with James. 6 bagels and a small thing of cream cheese was $19. I just did a double take. I don't understand. It's like, how is this our world?
Yeah, tariffs.
And it's crazy. Maple syrup was $200. But there are people that are in debt.
Yeah.
They don't have a good job. They don't have a significant other in their life. It's never been easier to attack those you envy. And that's the concoction here. Like, sports betting, I'm sorry. I don't think the guy that was writing on the spouse of Liam Hendricks' Instagram page that her husband should have just died is... that person is just... there's no redeeming them. They're just an awful, disgusting, despicable human.
Yeah.
Who should be publicly shamed. But I don't think it's because he had the under... and the Sox, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
I get it.
The
leading
but,
cause.
So, and in the show during the morning, you guys are Twitch. Mitch moderates the Twitch chat, and there's some nasty stuff in there. And occasionally, you and Courtney will respond, or you know, Greg will respond. And
right.
As a manager, I don't like that.
Right.
Largely, just why can't you just ignore those people and move on?
Right.
You're giving them fuel.
You really can't ignore them. They're tough. I'm telling you. Sometimes, you know, you try to do your best moderation there, but you know, sometimes it gets a little.
I mean, but again, back to Curtis's original point, like if it's part of the bit of the show and you can make some entertainment out of it, that's fine. And
right.
You want it to be interactive. But, you know, why does Liam Hendricks have to respond to these people? It's not going to help. I mean, it's
right.
Going to fuel them.
I don't. So if there is a way, and, you know, I thought Slane was awesome yesterday. One of the coolest moments of my life was him knowing the story that I had, which is like, I can't, it's just...
The Gronk story about a sequel?
Yeah.
This
well, that,
he died
that he was, that I had the story first that Gronk was traded and that the Pro Football Talk had it. You were right, by the way.
I'm always right.
But the, what was that if you just change the wording when it says you should kill yourself, it really means I want to kill myself. Like the people that are, it's all projection. And I get Liam Hendricks, like you're from Australia, you're here. You are, according to all reports, like you're always good with the media. You seem like the teammates like you. You got a good sense of humor. And you come back from cancer and you're struggling and you're wondering if you'll ever be the same. And you're vulnerable, deeply vulnerable. It's hard to imagine a position in any sport outside of golf, but you're not in a team where you're alone on a mound at Fenway Park and you're getting yanked
yeah.
because you can't get the job done. I can only imagine. But if the answer isn't to publicly shame like we did, like I cited yesterday, the Eagles fan with the Packers fan that was just despicable with the woman, like, that's fine. I'm all for it. But if we are not going to change anything, which it doesn't seem like we're going to, then you're right. Attention is oxygen for these people. And if you don't give it attention, it'll go away.
Just mute them and move on. Let's go to Kelly in Amherst talking Celtics in the years to come. What's up, Kelly?
What's up, guys? Excuse me. I'm loving the show. You guys are sounding great. I agree with a lot of your points on that last one. I'm not going to take the bait on that conversation because I did want to get into the Celtics, and I know it's a limited time kind of thing. But I will say this. We were talking about if the Celtics can get a good pick or, you know, if they play down a little bit next year, whether you want to call it tanking or they're just not that great. I don't think that's going to happen anytime in the next 5 years. They're too deep. When teams tank, it's not that the players play bad. Usually they just have the players play less, or they'll have like some of the young guys play more. But our young guys are too good. Realistically, I think the only way the Celtics are going to get any picks inside the top, you know, five in the next, I don't know, 5 years is through a trade. And I really hope they don't make that trade. Thanks, guys.
All right, Kelly, thanks. So basically, that's a stay the course. Is that just like wishful thinking? Like, will they ever, in 2 years when Tatum's back, are they back to being an elite contender?
The injury occurring when it did, that will be, it's there's no other word but devastating. Like, he was having one of the best games I've ever seen him play, as you alluded to. Like, he was
just everywhere, beyond
defense,
just scoring.
Was even better than the offense, and the offense was spectacular.
Yeah.
And, you know, who knows, obviously, modern medicine, I'm the furthest thing from a doctor. But you miss an entire season, which we all agree is the bare minimum, basically. And then you were at a place that is so, like, you cannot put into words the brilliance and luck you need at the same time to get to where the Celtics found themselves. Past the Magic, into round two of the conference semifinals in the East, you're at that point 12 wins away from back-to-back championships with by far the most talented team in the East, and arguably a team that would be favored or a pick'em against Oklahoma City in the NBA Finals. And now everything is unknown. You don't know. Nobody knows what Chisholm's going to be. But the only thing I've learned as an outsider is that he doesn't want to spend a lot of money in the tax, because there's no reason Wick would have said that at Wachusett and Shams would have reported it the day the deal was finalized. So his first action is going to be removing stars or good players on the Celtics in hopes that Stevens can go find the rest. But look at how long it took the Celtics to get to where they found themselves. Jaylen Brown was in 2017, I believe, the third pick.
Mm-hmm.
And Tatum was 18 as the third pick.
Yep.
So you're about a decade out. And you got, so call it 6 years you had to wait to get to a point where the team was good enough and you had the ability to bring in Porzingis and Derek White and those guys.
Well, there is a report out there about the Celtics' plans from a guy I've never heard of, but he's reportedly an insider, so I will have that for you now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Is this an homage to Greg sailing away to Nantucket for the weekend? All right.
All right, one piece of advice for Ken, I mean, that will help you with Ken, is that never say a rejoin is just a rejoin. That's like Ken's artwork. So always try and...
This just reminds me of Cartman.
So...
As much as I like Styx.
Styx, what movie is it discussed as the great rock bands of our generation?
Spinal Tap.
Big Daddy.
Nailed it.
Would you like my big scoop here?
Courtney said Big Daddy's the greatest.
Courtney's movie... history.
So far, it has been Wicked or Wedding Crashers, the two greatest movies of all time.
Well, Wedding Crashers is top five, but yeah.
Of all time?
Yes.
Oh,
it's one of the most rewatchable movies of all time.
Well, then
she also had Vince Vaughn as her greatest actor.
I don't know how she has the time. She watches The Town three times a week.
That's another thing that was just, okay.
Can I get to my big scoop here, please? Enough of this movie talk.
All right.
According to NBA insider Brett Siegel of Clutch Points.
What in the world is that?
This kid looks like he's 12, and he has 20,000 followers on Twitter. But he is reporting the Celtics have no intention of trading Jaylen Brown. They see him as a core piece to the team alongside Jason Tatum.
What's this guy's name?
Brett Siegel.
S-E-G-A-L?
S-I-E-G-E-L. Again, he looks like he's College Tom's age, who's also back there today. But he has a story that's like 50,000 words. Like, nobody writes this long anymore. And it takes you, like, pages to get to his little scoop that's in there. And it's a lot of what-ifs. But it sounds to me like he's throwing out that Derek White would be the guy that would bring back the most for them in a trade at this point, but would have to be packaged with a bunch of larger stuff. So, Mitch, you are the hoops expert. Have you ever heard of Brett Siegel? And what trade is coming for the Celtics?
I have heard the name, but I'm not really too familiar with him. I have heard a little bit of Derek White going to Golden State, which would make a lot of sense in theory because Steve Kerr has coached him in the Olympics. And, you know, Steph Curry so off the ball, they could use another ball handler. But I do think I agree with Curtis. I think that Tatum injury is huge for this offseason because now they can say, hey, listen, you know, with Tatum gone, we'll keep Jaylen Brown, like you said, Ken, but we don't need Jrue Holiday next year. Let's try to take his contract, move it. We don't need Kristaps Porzingis. Let's move it. We have Baylor Shireman coming in. Let's move Hauser. So they're going to use, I think, they're going to use that injury as a crutch to save all this money. And then they'll probably keep Jaylen Brown, in my opinion. But one thing I don't want to see moving is Derek White, but I would see if he does move, I think Golden State's going to be very interested.
That actually would be very painful. Derek White is now my favorite Celtic, Curtis. I don't know how you feel about it, but he's just...
It's like your kids. You can't pick one.
I know, but... And at the same time, I do... There has been a sentiment that this team has proved themselves to be a little bit fraudulent. I mean, we were comparing them to the 86 Celtics for parts of the last couple months.
And talent-wise, they're a better team when healthy than the 86 Celtics. That's not even a hot take.
I don't know Kevin how you McHale could say that right
like,
now.
Look at him. Do you honestly think Kevin McHale could defend Kristaps Porzingis?
Yes. Porzingis plays 10 minutes a night. I mean, what's going on there?
I'm saying healthy.
I mean, that's just
the
not...
The Porzingis in game one of the NBA Finals last year.
If you're out there, you're healthy. That's what Wiggy always says.
Well, so, Wiggy says a lot of things.
Wiggy does say a lot of things. Also, by the way, we have a borderline celebrity on the phone line. According to Mitch, Fake Jackson
called the show.
He's out in the Worcester area. Would you like to get Fake Jackson's take on
any this? Any Jackson is good Jackson.
Hello, Fake Jackson.
Morning, Phyllis. Can you hear me, dear Phyllis?
Sure can.
Hey, Jackson here. How are we doing, Phyllis?
We're doing great, Jackson. How are you?
Well, I just wanted to say it's so fantastic to hear you guys on the air. I like it to Jimmy Page and Eric Clapton just getting together on Saturday morning for some riffs.
You're right. It's well said.
Amen.
I just wanted to pitch something to Bossman Leard, if you could put it in Greg Hill's ear, possibly.
Yeah.
One additional road show.
Okay. Where would you like to go, Jackson?
Okay. Well, I'm thinking Boxborough, Mass. In early October would be a delightful time of year.
Well, Jackson, the road show's in the spring. Sir.
You think your car's going to make it all the way over there?
Well, I've just purchased an additional donut tire, sir. So I think I will make it there, no problem.
Okay, all right, Jackson. You enjoy your weekend. Be safe out there.
Thanks, Jack.
Appreciate the phone call. I will say this with Jackson. He's very eager. He's very eager to please Greg. He just doesn't go about it the right way. Like, he has a new open for the show ready and he cooked up. And I give him credit. He put a lot of work into it, and he was letting me hear it. But he kept saying, should I just play it on the show Friday? I'm like, Jackson, no. Don't just play things randomly for Greg. That is not going to work. But he does have a good open ready with a new song, if you want to hear it next week.
Yeah, so it's very frustrating. You and I think, we would not choose to go back 6 years ago.
No.
But in hindsight, there are a lot of things that I see myself doing now that I know I learned then.
Mm-hmm.
And that there was zero acceptance of anything being wrong. Even when you weren't wrong, you had to accept being wrong. Otherwise, you'd be yelled at even more. And there was this fear instilled in you and me that if we didn't do exactly what was expected of us
right.
in the exact moment, while giving credit to the people that was ordering us to do it,
mm-hmm.
we would be in trouble.
Right.
And I hear Jackson in the first, like, all I do is I think of myself then. If I had said, I previewed it. Like, well, clearly you didn't preview it because there was an F-bomb.
Well, he worked with Stern. I'm not sure if you're aware.
But, like, that's my point. Like, so what are we supposed to do? You don't, if you're in that moment, Jackson, you just say, my fault. But he always has this excuse ready.
Yeah, you got to just do the my bad. Point to the chest, my bad, move on.
It's okay. Nobody thinks you did that on purpose.
More importantly, the Red Sox lineup for game one is out. We've got a double dip today.
Right.
Game one is 105, pregame 1205 across the Shaw's and Star Market Red Sox Radio Network. Joe Weil coming in. Who is at third base, you ask? Not Alex Bregman. Not on the IL yet, but your third baseman is Nick Sogard. Sogi. And your first baseman is Abraham Toro. So your corner infielders today are Sogard and Toro, which is not ideal.
What? I don't get the hamstring tightness. So what does that mean?
It was a quad. Quad. Miami, yeah.
So just stretch it out.
I know. Hope that's... Maybe he's playing the night game. I don't know. Maybe give him an extra, afternoon just to let it heal. We do have Hunter Dobbins on the hill, followed by Lucas Giolito. So it's a Dobbins-Giolito day. You going to take in both?
The yard? I knew the audience would tell me, just not for any reason other than just to plan out my day in terms of how long it'll be. I'm going to Frozen, presented by the Boston Symphony Orchestra.
Whoa, hoity-toity.
James loves Frozen, and he loves music. But there's an intermission, which means it's probably over 2 hours, right?
Oh, yeah. You're in for 2 60-minute sessions plus intermission, I believe.
But it'll be fun. It'll be great. Okay. It'll be great.
I'll tell you what's fun. Your New England Ford dealers and F-Series. You can't beat the F-Series. The Ford F-150 is the gold standard.
Can we get to Belichick, please?
In a second. America's best-selling truck for 48 years and the official truck of the Boston Red Sox. Does Brett Siegel have any reporting on
He does.
Belichick?
He's yelling at people aggregating. So, Brett Siegel, look out.
How about Pablo Torre covering the market on Belichick reports?
His latest reporting is spectacular.
You want to get to that next?
I want to take a bath in it.
Okay.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.